Welcome. You are listening to Park Avenue Podcasts, and this is Rabbi Elliot Cosgrove. While it's always better to hear it live, this is a place to be to catch the music, sermons, and select programs of Park Avenue Synagogue. If you like what you are hearing or want to learn more about the community, please check out our website at www.pasyn.org. Enjoy our latest installment. Shabbat Shalom. In 1919, when the great Irish poet William Butler Yeats penned what is perhaps his most famous poem, The Second Coming, he saw a world on the edge of collapse. The carnage of the First World War, the backdrop of the Russian Revolution, the outbreak of the Irish War of Independence, Yeats believed himself to be witnessing the upending of the natural order. In his words, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world, the blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. For Yeats, the outbreak of physical violence was symptomatic of the stripping away of the very veneer of civilization, the reemergence of ancient passions and fears long thought buried, a breakdown of long assumed codes of conduct, ethics, and belief. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold, Yeats famously wrote. As bad as the anarchy, bloodshed, and breakdown of morality, Yeats was further troubled by the inaction of those who could do something about it all, but failed to. There's an ironic critique to the title of the poem, The Second Coming, in that Yeats saw those on the sidelines passively awaiting a messianic redemption while the forces of evil took the lead. In his words, the best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. A world turned upside down, the unthinkable made commonplace, and those positioned to remedy society's ills reduced to a condition of do-nothingness. It is exactly 100 years since Yeats's poem, and once again we look out, in the words of Richard Haas, at a world in disarray, teetering on edge. The rise of noxious populist sentiment in our country and abroad, the erosion of our democratic institutions, a polarized public discourse made more toxic by the dark underbelly of social media, a do-nothing gridlock from our own elected leadership, and this past week, an inability of Israel's leadership to perform even the basic task of forming a government. A breakdown of international order and institutions and the exacerbation of economic and military tensions between nations. Refugee crises, environmental crises, a widening gap between the haves and have-nots. For so many, the center is not holding. Of late, I've been particularly struck by the reemergence of troubles that I believe to have been long since settled. My thoughts turn to the alarming rise of anti-Semitism in America and abroad, on the right and on the left, the recrudescence of an ancient hatred no longer behind whatever firewall that may have once kept it at bay. I'm distraught by the present attacks on reproductive rights in our country. Far from being a nuanced debate on the conditions in which abortion may or may not be defensible, we are living through an all-out assault on a woman's right to choose. Or, if you like, the environment. It's not just that the hard-fought environmental protections have been halted or rolled back, but the very science behind it, the epistemological underpinnings that shape our policy discussions regarding this earth upon which we live and our existence depends, are now up for grabs. I grew up on the promise of a two-state solution, not by way of any love for the Palestinians, but because I was taught that such a stance was in the best interest of Israel's safety and long-term security, an idea that, best as I can tell, is now dead on the vine. Were it to be the case that our problems, both in substance and quantity, were of such magnitude as to be insurmountable, that unto itself would be disquieting enough. But we seem to be going backwards. Those conversations believed to be long settled, in Yeats's words, put to stony sleep, have now been stirred, being chipped away, an erosion, both fast and slow, at those ideals we have long held dear. There are those who believe that the challenges of our time are without precedent, that we are journeying through new and untrodden historical chapters and circumstances. And there are those who believe that there's actually nothing new about our era, that it was the last 70 years that was the anomaly or aberration, and it's our present moment that is the reversion to the norm. There are those who have a cheerful view of history, believing that progress is just around the corner. And there are those prophets of doom who believe that it's only a matter of when, not if, the bottom falls out. As Jews, more important than our view of history is our view of humanity's responsibility towards shaping history. This morning's Torah reading is a difficult one, filled as it is with promises of reward and punishment. Are we really to believe, as our B'nai Mitzvah asks, that God's justice is dispensed measure for measure, good for good and bad for bad? More likely, I believe, that the Torah is giving expression to an aspect of our existence that we know to be true, but more often than not fail to recognize, namely, that there are no promises in this world. If you walk in the right path, the Torah states, championing the values that God commands, then safety, security, prosperity, and peace may indeed be yours. But if you, as human beings are wont to do, take your eye off the ball, if you cease to defend the very values that you are called on to uphold, if you take your foot off the gas, believing yourself to be able to ride on the coattails of those who came before, then that safety, security, prosperity, and peace can all be taken away in an instant. Commenting on the Tochacha, the admonitions contained in this week's Torah reading, the 11th century commentator Rashi explains that the rupture of the covenant doesn't happen in one fell swoop. Rather, it's a seven-step process beginning with a failure to learn from the past, a failure to act in the present, a failure to engage others, and so on and so forth. One failure begetting the next, a seven-step downward spiral that eventually leads to the unraveling of all of the blessings that we work so hard to bring to bear. It's not so much that good is rewarded with good or bad with bad, or for that matter, that good is followed by bad or the other way around. The message is that a value-driven life demands constant vigilance. The good that you enjoy can be gone in an instant. The values that you hold dear taken away. Without constant attention, the center will not hold. I am not sure that I would have it any other way. But in retrospect, growing up when I did, where I did, and how I did, my coming of age endowed me with a delightful sort of naivete. I innocently believed that if everyone just kept on keeping on, everyone would come to realize that democracy was kind of inevitable, that the Second Amendment was not intended to include semi-automatic firearms, that our schools and houses of worship should be safe havens for intellectual and spiritual uplift, that anti-Semitism would be revealed to be ridiculous, that any law that diminished the humanity of another due to race, gender, sexuality, or otherwise would eventually be wiped from the books, and that pretty much everyone would come to realize that we should all be recycling and driving fuel-efficient cars. Stony the road may be, but no lie can live forever, And while the arc of the moral universe may be long, it does bend toward justice. Keep your head down, I thought. Follow your inner compass, and one day, as taught by the prophet Micah, everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Naive as it was, this is what I believed, and more naively, what I believed others believed as well. And now, I believe that I was wrong. And more important, I believe that believing is just not good enough. It's not just that I cannot assume that my values are shared by others. I need to assume that the values that I hold dear, the values that I would like to see instantiated in this world, are under attack and must be championed and defended. History is replete with examples of hard-fought gains being rolled back, eras of reform met by the backlash of retrenchment, the immigration restrictions set in motion following the decades of the turn of the century arrivals on our shores, the post-Second World War Taft-Hartley Act undercutting the New Deal's empowerment of labor, the most famous example undoubtedly being the unraveling of all of the gains of post-Civil War Reconstruction, with the rise of Jim Crow segregation, sharecropping, voting restrictions, and otherwise at the hands of a recalcitrant South and an indifferent North. In each of the cases, and so many others, the message, like that of our Torah reading, is one and the same, and it is you're never off of the court. Nothing sorts itself out by itself. Nothing is self-evident, and the progress of human history is certainly not assured. We say never again, and then again comes Rwanda, Srebrenica, Darfur, or Cambodia. Our values stand at odds with others, our ideals challenged at every turn. The gains of our forebears are ever at risk. History alone is not a moral force, nor does it have agency of its own. Evil persists from one age to age, and the levee protecting humanity can break at any minute. What Deborah Lipstadt once said about anti-Semitism, that it's like the herpes virus that never goes away and is just waiting to erupt, applies to so many evils. There's no fight that's ever settled. The evils are always there, crouching at our door. I have no idea what keeps you up at night. For some of you, it may be anti-Semitism. For others, it may be Israel. For others, reproductive rights. For others, the skyrocketing costs of Jewish education. And for others, it might be the environment. I imagine there are as many passions in this room, and some are even competing, as there are people in this room. But the message is one and the same, and it's one of urgency and human agency, that whatever the value is that you hold sacred, assume that there is someone else who believes the exact opposite, and that person is actively working to see their ideal become a reality. Assume that the worst are full of passionate intensity. Do not assume now or ever that the values that you take sacred and perhaps have even come to enjoy can be taken for granted. Never again without accompanying action is an empty slogan. To merely mouth the words, "it can't happen here," is a policy of negligence. Irons don't stay hot forever, and even when they cool, we must be willing to strike them. The arc of history doesn't bend towards justice on its own. We ourselves have to bend that arc with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our might. It's simply not enough in this day and age to be a person of values. Important as values are, and they are, more important is what you say, and more important than all of that is what you do. 1 week from now, as I made mention, we're going to celebrate the festival of Shavuot. The countdown literally is on, as it has been since the festival of Passover, counting each day until the upcoming festival celebrating the covenant of God and Israel. There are many explanations as to why we count these 50 days between Passover and Shavuot. Perhaps the most simple one is that in doing so, we link the two festivals to be reminded that the hard-fought freedoms of Passover are significant only insofar as we leverage those freedoms towards serving a cause greater than ourselves. The counting of days is a focusing mechanism. We know how easy it is to miss a day, to lose track, to slouch back, and let that downward spiral begin. But we have to press forward. Ours is an era when the unthinkable has become thinkable again. Our future will be determined according to whether we have the requisite focus, stamina, and fight to dedicate ourselves and defend those very values under assault. May we show such dedication. May we inspire others to do the same. And may we look back at our era, secure in the knowledge that we left everything out on the field, having done everything in our power to mend this world of ours in such desperate need of repair. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for listening to Park Avenue Podcasts, a place to be to catch the music, sermons, and select programs of Park Avenue Synagogue. If you like what you are hearing or want to learn more about the community, please check out our website at www.pasyn.org. See you in shul. Hallelujah.